Let me ask this. What are some synonyms for sluggard?
Lazy.
Lazy, slothful, idle.
Slow.
Bum.
Bum. You know, I think the real question is we need to. It's interesting as I'm listening to Taufik define sluggard, and he says they are this and they are this, and I'm thinking, okay, they are that, and what we have to ask ourselves is, are we that? And what we want to really do is turn the flashlight inward here. And ask ourselves, just think about this. Here you have the Proverbs. And what does God have to say to us most about work? Most, he doesn't emphasize diligence most. He condemns the sluggard most. Now, he does talk about diligence, that's true. But you just feel the weight of it. Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, O sluggard. 6:9, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? Proverbs 6:9, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? Well, that's what I just did. Proverbs 10:4, slack hand causes poverty. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Proverbs 10:26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 12:27, whoever is slothful will not roast his game. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the sluggard is like a hedge of thorns. 18:9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. 19:15, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. 19:24, the sluggard buries his hand in his dish. Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard does not plow in the autumn. Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the sluggard kills him. 22:13, the sluggard said, there is a lion outside. Proverbs 24:30, I pass by the field of the sluggard. Proverbs 26:13, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. 14, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. 15, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. You think about this. Think with me here about how this book starts. We have this kind of truth. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. Now listen, wisdom, right? We're talking wisdom. Listen to how Solomon writes. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be what?
Wise.
These proverbs are meant to impart wisdom, to know wisdom. Define wisdom for me. You cannot define a word with it, brother. Good instruction in applying it. Applying it in a way, as I've thought about it and what I've said before, I like to, you know, considering your path. Applying yourself to what is best for you. What is for your greatest good for the greatest extent of time. Right? Isn't that what salvation is all about? Isn't that what wisdom? You know what you find in the book of Proverbs? You find that being wise turns out for your greatest good. And being a fool turns out for your greatest grief and destruction. Isn't that what we find? So let's ask the question. How, if being a sluggard is worse than a fool, I mean, it's a fool and worse than a fool, why is it? Why is it so destructive? Why is it so negative? Why is it so bad? I mean, listen, don't we have lazy people who live off the government? They get a check. I mean, you know, we read something like 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we have this idea that if somebody shouldn't, that if somebody doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. But the truth is, our government feeds people who won't work. And so, if I don't work, then kick back, watch TV all day. Got a government check coming in, my bills are paid, my house is paid, my food is paid. Why is it so unwise? Why is it so foolish? Why is it so bad? Why is it so wrong? What is it? Why is idleness a sin? Why is it so bad? Like we looked at last week, we should discipline people out of the church and not fellowship with them if they won't work. Why is that?
Because it's not in line with the character of God. It's a distortion of who He is, because He worked. He works. And if we're made in His image, then we should walk as He walked. Do what He does.
Undoubtedly, the very character of God sets the standard for everything. And you have to remember, God did create us for a reason. And you do have to remember this. Ultimately, when this life is over, we're going to be judged according to what?
Works.
And don't think that work and works, I mean, they sound the same for a reason. Because we're expected to work. We're expected to occupy ourselves. Are we not? I mean, you think about the parable there in Matthew 25 and the parallel one over there in Luke's gospel, similar, where you have servants who are entrusted with things. And then what happens? Their master goes away. They were endowed with certain talents. Not like the talent, like you can make a three-point basket. It's a weight of silver. I mean, they were entrusted with that which is valuable. A talent, a weight of something was entrusted to them. They were given that which their master gave to them, and now they have a responsibility. And what happened? There was a foolish and wicked servant. What did he do with his? He buried it in the ground. And that's really what we need to be asking ourselves. Are we burying it in the ground? Because what we looked at last week, and you know this to be true, we looked there at Ephesians and Colossians, and we have a responsibility. There it was bonds, servants, or slaves under their masters. But as Tawfiq brought out, if it's true of a slave, that he's supposed to yield himself up to and be obedient to and serve without eye service and men pleasing. He's supposed to serve his master. How much more if we're an employer-employee relationship? Should we have a responsibility to do this? And we're supposed to do it, what? As unto the Lord. As though we're serving the Lord. As unto the Lord means the Lord is the focus. The Lord is the center. As you're working, you're thinking about how would the Lord want me to do this? When would the Lord want me to do this? In what fashion would the Lord want me to do this? To what extent would He want me to do this? What is the best way I can do this to please Him? And it doesn't matter what you're doing out there. If you're in the medical, if you're in the electrical, if you're in construction, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be in ministry. If you serve your life and you give yourself to endeavoring to please the Lord. And you come to the end of your life and all your works, the book is going to be opened and all your works are going to be read from it. This is true. This is true. And we've been told that the servant that takes what Christ has given and just buries it, whatever abilities, whatever riches, you remember the man who had a bunch of riches and he just built bigger barns to hold them? And he didn't use any of it for God's purposes. He didn't use his money as unto the Lord. What happens? The Lord comes for him and he says, "You fool." You see, there's that fool again. We have been given life. We've been given time. We've been given ability to work. And if we don't use the ability God has given to us, he's going to hold us accountable for it. You will be a fool in the end. And you will be held accountable. Listen, your great interest is at stake here. Wisdom has to do with your great interest. It has to do with you. And if you look at yourself and you see, you know, which one of you is a sluggard? I didn't think, not a single hand came up. But you know what? That doesn't mean that there aren't any here. That just means it's an embarrassing title. We wouldn't want to admit it. We will try to justify it. And I think in all these things, what we want to do is we want to see, is this us? I mean, even if you have periods of time in your life where you've been diligent, are you given to other periods where you're idle? Are you given to periods of gloom and depression and despair where you basically become idle? Are you given to being really diligent about some things, but in some other areas, you're happy? I mean, think with me here. The Proverbs are for the sake of wisdom, instruction, to understand words of insight. These are good things. This is written to young people. My son. And do you remember what Charles Leiter taught to us men when he came here and he was dealing with Hebrews 12? He's basically showing us that we are to regard the Proverbs as written from God to His children. And we have the basis for that in Hebrews 12, right? And so you think about this. Here's the Lord saying to you, I want you to have wisdom. I want you to have instruction. I want you to understand words of insight. I want you to receive instruction in wise dealing. Wise. This is for your greatest good. To be a sluggard is destructive to you. It's not good for you. It's not helpful to you. It's destructive. And being diligent is for your good. It is very wise. These things have to do with righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So look, this is given for our instruction. This is given to make us wise, young people and not so young people. And you think, there are some things in the Proverbs only mentioned once. There are some Proverbs that deal with certain subjects that only come up once. And this thing about being a sluggard comes up again and again and again and again. You get the idea with young people, it might just be a problem, not only today, but like several millennia ago, it was still a problem. And it has been a problem. And then you compound it today. You know, the thing about the sluggard is throughout here, a lot of times we see this thing about sleep. But that's not all, right? I mean, because you have things about, oh, there's a lion in the street. Or the sluggard puts his hand in the bowl and won't even bring it to his mouth. Now, literally, that's doubtful. It's a principle here. It's a proverb. Or he goes and he hunts game and he won't eat it. He won't clean it. He won't go to the work. Well, today, it's not just staying in bed. It's staying camped in front of video games. It's just endlessly doing useless, vain, ridiculous, trivial things on Facebook and on your smartphones and just piddling the time away. You know what the problem with the sluggard is? He's got time that accounts for nothing. And he's going to have to stand before God for it. And I can tell you this. If you're in this room and you die lost, don't die lost. You run to the Savior now. Don't die for your sin. But I'll tell you this. You die in your sin and you die a sluggard, you're going to answer to God and you're going to pay throughout eternity for all your waste, for all your idleness, for all your burying of what Christ gave you in the ground. And he's going to call you just what he calls that man, a wicked servant. But I'll tell you this, Christian, it is not for your gain either. Because for one, even as we've been looking at in Hebrews chapter 10, we are to consider one another how to stir up and provoke to love and good works. Well, I'll tell you one of the ways you stir and provoke other people to good works, and that's by doing them diligently yourself. You are a pitiful example if you are lazy in the church. You are a horrible example when you can't get out of bed on time. You are not a person who can disciple other people. You are not a person setting an example. You are not a person that we can say that can say like Paul did, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And you're not redeeming the time. And that time, even if you're saved and bought by the blood of Christ, that's sin and something that's going to have to be washed away. It will not be to your credit. It will not be among those things that are your good works that will follow you out into eternity forever. It will be that which has to be washed away and cleansed by the blood of Christ. It'll have to be that he hung on the cross and shed his own blood and suffered the wrath of God for, because it's sin and it's ugly and it does you no credit as a Christian. No credit at all. Being idle. And you know what it is to be like that hinge, right? The sluggard, he's just, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. What's the thing about a hinge? It's always turning, but it's never going anywhere. And it's this person. They lie on their bed. It says, you have these words, a little sleep, a little slumber. That's not Solomon talking. That's Solomon telling you what the sluggard says. He's not saying that the sluggard gets a little sleep. He's saying that the sluggard, when he's on his bed, is deceiving his own self, and he's just deceiving everybody that just a little more and then I'll get up. Just a little more, then I'll be responsible. Just a little more, then I'll go to work. Just a little more. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And then I'm going to go. I mean, you know, he's the kind of guy, you rouse him and he stretches. Give me 5 more minutes. You know, the bed's warm, the bed's comfortable. But that's the way with the lazy man or the lazy woman. What is it that drives them? What is the driving factor in life? What is their sin? What is their idol? It's just, it's ease. It's warmth. It's pleasure. It's comfort. I don't want to put forth an exertion that's painful. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up this morning. It's cold.
What's that? Pilgrim's Progress. What was his name? Mr. Byens.
You remember in Pilgrim's Progress there was Sloth, and I forget who were the other two guys. But they were laying there. Remember, they were all in chains. And he came and he was trying to rouse them up and wake them up. They were just stretching and yawning and wanting to be left alone. But this is the picture. And so what we really need to be looking at is right here. I mean, are we diligent? You know, surrounding yourselves a lot of times with the people that are active, the people that are aggressive, the people that are moving. You look at Christ. He was up through the night many times praying. I mean, I have a feeling he missed lots of whole nights of sleep. That's why you'd find him in a storm sleeping in the back of the boat. Just wearied at the well. He wasn't wearied because he was a sluggard. He was wearied because he was ministering to people all the time, teaching his disciples all the time, and spending days and nights in prayer. He was relentless. And you remember when the woman reached out and touched his hem and she was healed? He said he felt virtue go out of him. It cost him something to heal people. It was constantly draining to him. And he kept going and going. Paul, look at Paul. The guy just... And even when he would get to a church to minister to them. I mean, anybody that is used to preaching and dealing with souls knows how much that drains. Then he turns right around and he's a tent maker. And he would not take money from many of the churches. From some he would. He robbed some churches, so he said to the Corinthians. He took what the Philippians sent him time and again. But to some of the churches he would not. And he would work. I mean, you read about Spurgeon. The guy worked 18 hours a day. Now look, I know there, you do no service to anybody if you require 8 hours a day of sleep and you're trying to, you know, get by on five.
How you add to that, that's a Selah moment. Wow.
Is there a verse that mentions that one of the sins of Sodom was they were clogged for a seed? I didn't know if that was so or not, but if that's a characteristic of Sodom and Gomorrah, that they were clogged for a seed.
Well, how about we just think about let's think about Proverbs 12:24. You know, the thing about being lazy, it's kind of like a person who's undisciplined. Actually, laziness and lack of discipline tend to be maybe even the same thing in some respects. But you know, a lot of times, if you're undisciplined in one part of your life, you're undisciplined in another part of your life. They kind of go together. And the danger is that somebody who's undisciplined about their time and work is undisciplined about their soul. And that's not wise to be undisciplined there. And I'll tell you, because the same guy that doesn't get out of bed to get to work on time doesn't get out of bed to get into the Word of God on time. And you need that Word of God, and you need to walk with Christ if you would win this race. And I can tell you, if you're not getting up and you're not being disciplined to be in the Word, it's questionable whether you're going to win this war. It's very questionable. But listen to this. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Do you remember several weeks ago, David Butterbaugh said, speaking about Dave Chansky's book, that from 18 to 25 is like this critical window for young people, especially young men? Remember him talking about that? Young men who are diligent from 18 to 25, when they get to be 30, 35, 40, 45, there's a huge difference. Huge difference. It's like Dave Chansky was saying. It lays the foundations for what you will become in life. There's no question about it. And I've told some of the young men before, you've got to be disciplined in work, in labor, in getting jobs. You've got to have a plan, you've got to attack, you've got to be doing something you can be successful at. You've got to get up on time, you've got to go get these jobs, you've got to be able to keep jobs, you've got to work hard at these jobs. Because if you can't do that, if you keep losing jobs, by the time you get to be 40 years old, you are going to have to work the kind of work you don't want to work. At hours you don't want to work. In conditions you don't want to work. That's the same kind of thing you have here. If you're undisciplined, you are going to get to the place. This talks about forced labor. I mean, you say, what's that? I'll tell you this, it's undesirable. That's what it is. It's not what you want to be doing. It's the kind of labor, forced labor. It just sounds hard. Because that's what it's meant to be. And that's what's going to happen. If you're lazy, you're going to end up in a position later on in life that you don't want to be in. And you know what? There's I put down here, there's some shock points in life. When if you're lazy, it's going to be a real shock to you. One is when all of a sudden mom and dad aren't there anymore to foot the bill. That's a shock point. The other one is when you want to get married. You know, it's amazing that you'll sometimes get guys that have never been able to hold a job or have had any kind of significant job, and all of a sudden, bang, they want to get married, and it's suddenly there's this, it's a shock factor. Now, I mean, there can be reasons why somebody is not financially ready as soon as they want to get married. That's different from being slothful and a sluggard and idle. I mean, there can be other reasons. I'm not saying because somebody gets to the place they want to marry, and if all of a sudden they recognize that they have to give serious consideration to their financial situation, I mean, that doesn't mean that they've been idle. But if you are idle, that's a shock point, because suddenly, how are you going to support a wife? How are you going to support a family? I'll tell you another time that when you're lazy, another shock point in life is when you lose your job. And typically, if you're lazy, you're going to have a series of those kind of events in your life. If you can't make it to work on time, you're not going to hold jobs very long. You're not going to get promotions. You're not going to get put in other positions. You're not going to be the kind of person that's going to be highly valued. So forced labor. And what about any of these others? Proverbs 19:15. Let's think about that one. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep. and an idle person will suffer hunger. Slothfulness, it casts men into a deep... Think about what a deep sleep is. You're senseless. Being slothful, it just stupefies a person. I mean, you're laying around all the time. It makes men senseless, mindless of their own affairs. I mean, a person in deep sleep, they don't know what's going on around them. They're in a dream world. They're people that are doing nothing. They just slothful people. They just doze away their time. They bury their talents. They live a useless life. Unprofitable. I mean, that sums it up. And any kind of service they do, they're always like people half asleep. Their souls even idle, lulled. It's a deep sleep. They're just a people that they don't have a good grasp. They like live in a dream world. You know, one of the things that you find about the Proverbs 31 woman is she's a hard worker. You ever notice that? You ever read through Proverbs 31 and just notice how hard of a worker she is portrayed to be? Can any of you think about the things she does that give evidence that she's a hard worker? Yeah, she's all prepared for the cold. She goes out and she buys some land, a vineyard, right?
She rises while it's still dark.
She rises while it's dark. She's up early. She gets everything ready for the household. It says she works with... She's got arms of a working woman. Men, you do not want an idle, sloth-ridden, sluggardly wife. Hmm. If you want to look for a good thing in a wife, it says charm, that's vain. Beauty, that's vain. You get a woman like this, a woman that fears the Lord. She's a hard worker. She's working to give. You ever notice that? She recognizes those that are in need, and she works hard. She works hard to provide for her family. She works hard to be able to give to others. Men, you want a woman like that. You don't want a lazy wife. She'll be a curse to you. Mm-hmm. And ladies, same thing. You don't want a lazy, sluggard man. He may be handsome. He may be great. He may thrill your soul right now. But if he's lazy, he will be a curse to you as well. And look, this is all about wisdom. This is all about good. You want to run this race fast? You know what it is? If you're all fired up, you want to run this race really well and really fast, you go and marry a lazy person, it's like you just ball and chain yourself, truthfully, to something that's going to hold you back, slow you down, be a misery to you.
Proverbs 14:23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Your job could be the white collar, you know, you're working business, suit and tie, or no collar. You're toiling, you're working as unto the Lord. We talked about this last week. You're doing it as worship. There's profit in that. And there's much profit in that. Because you're creating within yourself, again, you're building upon that discipline, and that is something that the Bible speaks highly of, and that's like Christ. Now, again, in the contrast, mere talk tends only to poverty. It's easy to talk big. It's easy to talk about what will be or what you would do and all of that. And even some people again, ask yourself, are you one who spends all of your time talking? I mean, even about good things, like there's work to be done and you're always talking. I remember that in the past years, I've been very blessed to go to every single one of the men's retreats. And at the end, it's time to work. It's things that need to be done, picked up, cleaned up. And it would always amaze me how many people would, usually some younger people, would just be standing around talking when the older men were sweating and carrying stuff. And I'm reminded of the proverb that says that the glory of the young men is their strength. Like, God gives young men this strength to use in their youth to work. So again, are you one who just talks? Are you a talker? Or are you a worker? There's nothing wrong with talking. Talking is good. But mere talk, there's no action behind it. You talk about what you want to do. You talk about your goals. You have goals. It's great. Okay, I have a vision. I have a dream. I have this. I want to do that. But you don't do anything. You don't actually go out and do it. You know, or you begin things and you don't finish them. You start stuff, but you don't bring it to the conclusion, because it takes work. It takes effort. It takes diligence. It takes faithfulness and chipping away at that bit day in and day out. If it's mere talk, then that's all you have. And it's going to end in your poverty. It's going to bring poverty. You know that proverb, was it 24, when he said, I went by the field of a sluggard, and it was all overgrown with thorns and thistles and things of this sort. And I was talking to Brother James Jennings, and he was talking about Brother Bob Jennings, about his home, his lawn, and how it was just perfectly manicured and just everything was right. Contrast that with the sluggard, who his stuff is just overgrown and everything is just... And it's like Pastor Tim said, what is done in this portion is going to spill over into the other. You're being lazy, and you're being, you know, you live at home, okay? You live under your parents, and your room is a mess. Or you have a car, and your car is a mess. Or you have a desk, and your desk is a mess. Like, you don't have to have a 9-to-5 job in order to show diligence and faithfulness. You don't have to be unemployed to show yourself to be a sluggard. Just having a sloppy room. You wake up, you don't make your bed, you throw your clothes all over the floor. Just living a sluggardly, lazy, sloppy life. And when I was talking to James, and he was telling me how just everything with Brother Bob's life and just rulers, and I was like, wow, that's impressive, and how that spilled over even to the conviction of a man who walked up the driveway and saw the order there and realized the disorder in his own life, and it ended up bringing him to the Lord. That being diligent in all the things that we do, excellence, that we are Christian, we are the children of God. Doesn't God do everything in excellence? Have you ever looked at a flower? Just looked at the detail and all of the work that went into making sure everything is just right. No sloppiness there. You look at the design of all the things that God made. Look at his handiwork. Look at his work. Look at the evidence of God's work. And where to be his people. Where to be followers of Christ. Look how Christ did things. Did he do anything sloppy? We know he didn't. Everything he did, from his preaching to his mercy ministries, he made sure everyone got fed. No one walked in, hey, I didn't eat, you forgot me. No, everything was done right. It was excellence there. And we are to live our lives in such a way that show that excellence.
And just, you know, like I said before, wisdom is seeking our greatest good. And I want you to hear that. For instance, Proverbs 12:14, the work of a man's hand comes back to him. You see the wisdom? You work, you're diligent, you're not lazy. The work of a man's hand comes back to him. You see how it's definitely for his own good. Or you have like Proverbs 13:4, the opposite. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. You see how it affects themselves? I mean, this is the thing that you have to realize. This directly affects you. That's not to say that it doesn't affect others. I mean, you have Proverbs 10:26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. People that, you know, the sluggard doesn't just stay in bed. Sometimes they do get to the job, but the people that employ them, it's like throwing smoke in their eyes to have somebody that works for them that's like that. It does affect others. Like I said before, if you marry somebody like that, it will definitely affect you. But I want you to see just how much this affects the person. Proverbs 19:15, an idle person will suffer hunger. But you see, it's they that suffer. Being idle brings suffering on himself. Or how about Proverbs 21:25? The desire of the sluggard kills him. You see that? Whereas the diligent man, in Proverbs 12:24, the diligent will rule. The slothful, forced labor. You see, it's for the good of the person. The diligent man, in Proverbs 12:27, will get precious wealth. Proverbs 13:4, the diligent is richly supplied. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. You see, what this is what I'm really wanting you to see. These are proverbs. These are truisms. These are truths. This is God telling you, my children, if you are hardworking, it's going to come back to you. You see what we were talking about before? Wisdom, your greatest good for the greatest amount of time. When you stay in bed, when you don't apply the effort, it may feel good momentarily. But isn't that always the way of the fool? They seek the immediate gratification at the expense of greater gratification for the greater amount of time, right? Isn't that it? That is it. The fool always says, oh, this is going to feel really good right now. I don't care about tomorrow. Where the wise man, he plans for the greatest good for the greatest amount of time. And that's what all this... You see, if you are lazy, you are lazy. And it's going to hurt you. It's going to cost you. This is why he's saying learn wisdom. In wisdom is life. In wisdom is well-being. In wisdom is good. You don't want to blow this off. And the truth is, we live in a lazy generation. We live in a generation where people are always trying to, you know, they hate Mondays. Why? Because they're far away from the weekends. Everybody's living for the weekend. Everybody, I'm lumping everybody together. But we live in a generation where people live for the weekend and they live for retirement. They don't live to work. And yet this is the hour, this is the time when it's day, when we can work. The night is coming when you will not be able to work. And what you do in this life matters. If it didn't matter, then you'd be told it didn't matter. But that's not what we're told. We're told over and over and over again, it does matter. What you say, every word, every idle word you've ever spoken, you are going to be judged according to it. Every act you ever have done, every bit of diligence you put forth in the workplace is going to be called to account. The books are going to be opened, and God has an unfailing memory. And it is all going to come out. All of it. And so you don't want to do this just with eye service and man-pleasing in mind. Do it as unto the Lord. Be diligent as unto the Lord. Whatever you have to do, and it's going to come back to you. That's what we're seeing here. It comes back to you. You labor with your hands, it comes back to you. You're diligent, you're faithful, it comes back to you. You don't have to be a great person in this world. If you're just a hard worker and you seek to please the Lord and you're diligent and you get up, you're diligent to work in the spiritual things, you're diligent to work in the physical things, you're diligent to do it to please the Lord so that when you get to the end of your day, you can lay down and have that sweet sleep of the hard-working man and woman, and you get to the end of your life and you can lay your head down on your deathbed with that sweetness of a life that you ran well, you fought the good fight of faith. And the good fight of faith isn't fought in bed unless God puts you through some sickness or disease there, where you're a prayer warrior in his behalf or something like this. But this, folks, I'm calling on you to look at this. This is for your own good. Wisdom is always about what's for your greatest good. And if there's anything we need to be diligent about, it is the state of our souls, and it is our walk with Christ. And you don't want to be sloppy there. What is it? What is it if you make it to work on time, you're able to punch the card, and you even get an award that, you know, you're never late for work, but you don't get up in time to have any time to walk with the Lord, be with the Lord, strive in prayer with the Lord, to be in His Word, to have His Word abiding in you, to tremble at His Word, to rejoice in His Word, find hope in His Word, to find Christ in His Word. What is it if you're lazy in that and you're a workaholic and work is your idol and you've sacrificed your soul for it? What is that? And just think about a couple things. Even leading up to Proverbs 6, where it starts out with consider the ant, I saw a couple things. One, you have the text there in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will guide your paths. And I just want to remind you of this. You are told to steal no more, work with your hands so that you can give. You are told not to be busybodies, not to be idle. You are to work. 2 Thessalonians 3, first one I just read, Ephesians chapter 4. You're commanded to work. Are you not? Are we not bid to do this? Aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. 1 Thessalonians 4. If God commands you to work, and He does. In fact, if God commands you to work, and if you don't, we should disassociate and put you out of the church. That's how important it is. That's how bad it is when you don't. Then you can trust the Lord to give you a job. It may not always be exactly the kind of job you want, making exactly the kind of money you want. But you know this, if the Lord says, acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll direct your paths. And if the Lord commands you to work and you don't have a job, or you don't have enough jobs, or you don't have a job that pays well enough to be able to provide for your family's needs, you can ask Him. Trust the Lord. But then you got to be diligent. That doesn't mean pray and then sit there and do nothing. That means hit the streets, look for jobs. The other thing is, it says there in Proverbs 5:21, a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The Lord is pondering your paths. Do you know how he knew when all those servants were brought before him that one of them took his stuff and hid it in the ground? The wicked servant, he took what was given to him and he hid it away in the ground. He just buried it. How did he know? Because his eyes are everywhere. His eyes are in every place. And he's watching. He knows the ones that are diligent. And there's a great reward in diligence. There's a great reward personally to you, for you. And he's watching. And he's pleased when we give it all out, when we pour ourselves out to serve him and to live for him and to work for him. The Lord is pleased when you get out of bed to meet with him and pray to him. Get in his word. The Lord is pleased with that. The Lord is pleased. Did you catch that? So that you walk properly before outsiders. When you work hard, you walk properly before the outsiders. When you get to work on time, you walk properly before the outsiders. You live with roommates or with family members. You get up and they see that your light is on daily, consistently. Your light is on. Because you're in the Word. You're people that are diligent. You're people that are going. You're people that are striving. You have a reason to live. The reason a lot of people, they're just so lazy because they don't have anywhere to go. They don't have any aim. They don't have any direction. We're serving the Lord. We're headed off into eternity. Our time is short. We are the witnesses of Christ. He's put us here to proclaim Him in the workplace, in evangelism, living for Him, serving the brethren, and striving. There are so many needs in the world. Look around, visiting widows and orphans in their affliction. I mean, that's the very essence of what real and true religion is all about, true and undefiled religion. There are so many needs in the world. There are so many things to pray about in this world. There are so many needs. I mean, if you knew the spiritual battles Joseph Urban was having, the kind of situations we're seeking to see a door open to this ambulance thing over in India. We've got fledgling church plants down in Corpus and Laredo. I mean, if you just knew the needs and how the devil is constantly scheming, you would not have time to stay in bed. If you knew of all the widows and the orphans in this world and all the lost people, they're going on their merry way to hell, and you're the ones in the church and that have the truth. I mean, is it time to stay in bed? Is it time to relax? Are we living in a day when relaxation and ease and retirement is what we ought to be thinking about and consuming ourselves with? We're the people of God, and our day is short, our time is short. Most of us, you know, if you have 70 years, that's pretty average. 80, well, that's a little bit above average. Beyond that, very few ever go. I mean, our time is ticking away, and it's going by fast. And the life is just going. Which ones of us want to get to the end? We've spent a good deal of it in bed when we didn't need to. You see, we need sleep. It's not as though all sleep is unprofitable. The problem with the lazy person is they're constantly giving themselves to that which is a waste. They're giving themselves either to sleep that has gone over and above and beyond what is necessary to where it's a waste. They're seeking ease to where they're not applying themselves to life to where they need to. And God is taking account of all of this. And we have it on good authority that even the Christians, even people that are in ministry, what's going to happen? If God looks and here your life is it going to be wood, hay, and stubble? Is there going to be that which is burnable and won't stand the fire? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you do with... It's talking about ministers there in 1 Corinthians 3. I recognize that. But that which is built with bad material doesn't stand the fire. And these are people that say that they're going to be saved so as by fire. This is not speaking about lost people. And what's happening? Some of the things that they did in their life are just burned up. What? The idle, useless, bad, material. I mean, even sometimes they're not idle in these building materials, but it's just stuff that God doesn't give any regard for. Even in the Christian's life, Judgment Day is going to be a time when the fire is going to test what we're made of. And all these things that you do when nobody else is watching, it's going to come back around again. That's why it's so much wisdom for you to hear this. All you're doing with your life is going to come back to you. You may forget. We may forget. May seem like a long time ago. Maybe totally out of memory, out of sight, out of mind. But it's all coming back again. It's all coming back again. And that's why there's so much wisdom. Oh, some of it comes back immediately. It's like if you work, you get to eat from what you worked with. And you know what? Welfare is not all it's cracked up to be. Food stamps, and I don't know if it's cracked up to be much, but living a life not working, just living off the state and off the government, that is not all it's cracked up to be. People that don't work are the most dangerous group of people on the face of this earth. And I think I said it last week, you just look at people on the South Seas Islands where fruit just drops off the trees and people don't have to work. Some of the grossest immorality, headhunters, cannibals. It's almost like, you know, fallen people need to work just to consume their time so they're not just insanely killing each other and just falling to all manner of depravity. You have to feel that work in this world is kind of a common means of grace to keep people from becoming as bad as they could become. Just kind of a restraining grace in this world. But oh God, help us. Help us, brethren, help us. You don't want to waste this. To come when it's all said and done, and to see Him face to face, and to be able to say, Lord, You gave me 5. Here's 5 more in return. I used what You gave me. I sought to invest wisely. You gave me a measure of health. You gave me a measure of spiritual giftedness. You gave me a measure of mind and IQ. Lord, I applied it for Your kingdom. I sought first the kingdom of God. I sought to work as unto the Lord. I sought to serve You. I sought to put it all on the altar. Lord, I know I didn't do it perfect. I know some days I overslept, and sometimes even when I applied myself, I realized, oh, I wasted time doing that. I wasn't doing the right thing. But Lord, I sought to use all You gave me. I sought to pour it out. I sought to use it for the good of Your people. I sought to use it to take care of my family. I sought to work hard. I sought to be diligent, not only to put food on my table. You want to work. You want to work to be able to give. You want to be diligent to be able to give. You want to be diligent to be able to love. You want to be diligent to be able to provide for what the widow and the orphan lack. You want to be diligent so that you can help pay for this ambulance thing that's going to send gospel-knowing people into villages where they don't know Christ. You want to do that. You want to live this life. You want to be diligent. If you've got free time on your hand to get a second job or a third job, to be diligent to make money so that the Hamiltons can take care of more children. And some of these do long people. Some of these that they're reaching out to, that they're seeking to have operations for, that are very pricey, trying to cure cancer. And some of these poor people, that this is just like a godsend, that the sister would show up and whisk them away to the medical help that may preserve their lives long enough so that they can hear the gospel and be saved and be in heaven with many of us. Is it? Being diligent to work more, to give these to these endeavors, to give to be able to help and support all these travel costs that our brother in China is incurring to travel all over, or that that Joseph Urban is incurring to be able to go back and forth all the time from Mexico City and all that goes into that, or to be able to provide for John Seitzman as he's going to travel all around to many different places to be able to provide for the Women's Grace House and hopefully the harvest of souls. A diligent life. Giving yourself to these things. I mean, okay, you get out of your job now. Rather than just going home and sitting idle, just go, get together with some people, head downtown, hand out tracts, talk to people, go door to door, speak to people, go visit the nursing home, show the compassion of Christ. You may see souls in heaven as a direct result of this, the direct result of your diligence. And it's going to be the diligent people in this world that are going to be the ones that God is going to move up and onward to greater realms of usefulness. God does not take the inept and the idle and then use them in greater capacities. You young people, you will never be missionaries. You will never be pastors. You will never be in the ministry if you are idle. Now, and if you are not faithful in what you're doing. God doesn't take unfaithful people in little things and then put them into big things as though you're going to be faithful there. You know what the spiritual principle is? Faithful in little, faithful in much. And if you're not being faithful in the little things and in the little place that you're at right now, you are not going to be faithful there. And whether you're working here at Fatty's and you're flipping burgers or you're working at the Grace Houses or you're in any of these capacities, you're out there in the workplace, or you're going to school. Who are you as a Christian to give a half-hearted effort? If you're going to school, you should be trying to get the best grades possible. If you're working a job, you should be employee of the month. You should be the standout employee. You should have the attendance that is above and beyond everybody else. You should set the standard. You should be diligent. You should be hardworking. You should not be the guy that stays in bed till noon. You should not be the guy that can't pay his rent on time. You shouldn't be the guy that doesn't know what it is to be able to give. Idle people, slothful people, don't know about being a cheerful giver that God so loves. Why? Because they don't work hard enough to hardly have anything more to feed their own mouths. Hardworking. This is the kind of wife you want. This is the kind of husband you want. And I'll tell you right now, if you're one of the young people, and there are some, oh, we've got some really hardworking people. We got some really hardworking people, and I'm very thankful for it. And we've got some that are lazy. And you lazy ones, you better change. I will never recommend to any young lady, if I see a lazy young man, I will never recommend any young lady marry you. And vice versa. I will not. As a pastor, in good conscience, I could never do that. I won't do that. And you know what? The kind of young men and young women you want to get married to are the ones that are going to highly value the counsel of people, elder people, and those that are wise that are in this church. And I guarantee that group of people will never be recommending you as a spouse to other people if you're lazy. If you can't hold a job, you can't get up on time, you have a miserable and pathetic discipline in your spiritual life and walk. And this is just true. This is real. Work hard. You're mowing the lawn, you do it as unto the Lord. Brethren, I can remember as a young Christian, well, after I moved down here, working as an engineer, trying to plant a church at the same time, and sometimes we'd have work parties, and I'd go there, and I'd be the only one in these church plant down in Floresville and Stockdale. I'd be the only one. I'd be mowing the lawn just, you know, once in a while, I'll admit, wanting to grumble because nobody else came, but then just thinking, you know what, put that out of your head. You're here, be faithful. Mow this as unto the Lord. The Lord knows. The Lord's watching. The Lord will take that into account. And I think He has. And you just be faithful in that. You may not think anybody else is aware, anybody else is watching. You just be faithful. Because God is watching. And you take these people. You take like the Hudson Taylors. You take the William Careys. You take the Adoniram Judsons. You take George Mueller's. You trace these guys back in their biographies to when they're nothing, nobodies, and they have no popularity and nobody knows them. And look at them. They're faithful. They're men that are giving themselves all out. They're men that in the little things, they're exact. They're living with a conscience. They're getting out of bed. They're not taking the easy road. See, that's the problem of the sluggard. Ease. You know what? In disciplining your lives, take the hard path. Get out of bed early. Put on the jogging shoes when it's cold out and go out and run. I mean, you know the athletes that make it, right? And you know, in the big time, the athletes that make it, they're the guys that are up before everybody. The guys that are working out when all the other guys are partying. They're the guys that put in the extra effort. It's the same thing. We're running a race. This is just like the athlete. This is like the wrestler. This is like the racer. This is like the Olympian. We have this kind of this imagery in Scripture. Don't waste your life. Don't sleep it away for your own good. Be wise. This is coming back to you. How you live is coming back to you. It will right now in this life, and it will on Judgment Day, and it will off into eternity when our works follow us. How you live now matters for eternity. When so, you know, sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. Sometimes I do. And these are things we know, but it takes like sometimes being jolted about just how important it is, how real it is that it's all going to be brought into account, how real it is that it all really does follow us. Sometimes we just need that little wake-up nudge to say, yeah, that's right. Sometimes we can start falling off the pace. This is really a wake-up call to coasting. Don't coast. And you know what? Sometimes some of the most diligent people can become weary in well-doing. And we can begin to coast. Don't coast. Remember again, some of you heard the messages. Our brother there in China, he admitted, he confessed. Sometimes he's getting older, he just likes to kick up his feet and kick back with one of the Puritans in his hand. And I can remember seeing him preach in one conference, and he was just weeping. He was just crying. He was saying how much it's just this battle of the flesh, and sometimes how he just wants to come off the mission field and come home where it's easier. And we feel that, don't we, brethren? We feel that fight. The flesh wants ease. But Christ, at His example, He calls us, brethren, to not take the path of ease. And we can weep with our brother, but don't give in. Weep because you feel the flesh is weak and the spirit is willing, but still don't give in. You may wake up dead, or as he says, dead as a hammer. So be it. Get out of bed. Endure the cold. Get you some warm slippers, whatever it takes. And we looked at fasting. Kevin keeps sending out these emails on fasting. Well, what is all that about? It's about killing the desires of the flesh. It's about showing our bodies who's in control. And that's what this is all about. I know there's times, especially when it's cold, it feels good to stay in bed. Don't do it. Tell this flesh, no, I know this feels good. Oh, once in a while, obviously. Once in a while, it's okay to feast. Once in a while, it's okay to stay in bed. Once in a while, but not on a regular basis. Certainly not on a daily basis. Certainly not on a weekly basis. Discipline yourself. Give yourself to the rigors of the Christian life. This matters. Don't succumb to the flesh. Beat your body into subjection. Exercise. Eat right. Get up on time. Get in the Word. Work. Be diligent. Don't let that flesh get the day, brethren. Subdue it. Pummel it. Show it. Show it. don't feed the flesh. Don't give it that which it's going to feed on. Doesn't Scripture say that? Make no provision for the flesh. And staying in bed too long makes provision. And once you start giving into it, you're going to become weak in the area of resisting sexual temptation. Why? Because you're giving in. You're giving into that what feels good. And you make that a pattern to give into what feels good. Disciplined life. Getting up on time. Regular fasting. Disciplined times of prayer. If you have a job, you strive to be the best worker there. You know, Christian, we're living this life for Christ. Don't give Him second best. When you come to offer to Him, look, Lord, You gave me two, I made You two more. May that two more, may they be shiny coins. May it shine. May it be worthy of giving back to Him. Walk worthy. That's what this is all about. And it's just wise. It's for your good. It's not just how pleased He's going to be. It is for your good. Seriously, our works follow us. Do you know what that means? That means that what we did, the glories of it, the reward of it, will be yours through eternity. What you did here will impact forever. Every one of us, whether we die saved or lost, it's going with us forever. You can't get away from it. You do not want to live your life like it doesn't matter.
Amen.
Amen. Well, brethren, you're dismissed.